Smithdale Station.
Sorry, I thought I was meant to be on at 3:20, so
you are, but we're running early. Are you happy? Do you want a wee break?
Well, my wife is coming in, right, and she was going to pick up my daughter from school, so I gave her a ring about 5 minutes ago. So if you wouldn't mind a wee break.
Yeah, how long would you like?
Pardon?
How long a break would you like?
Maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll adjourn for a quarter of an hour, eh? How's that? We'll come back at 2:15?
That'd be great.
Okay, no worries.
And I did want this time because I need more than 20 minutes, so. But the fact that we are running early, it's a good thing for me, too. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Would you like to just outline your key points for us?
Yeah.
Cool.
Me and my brother currently farm at family farm out the Mokarita Valley. Our home farm is 400 hectares. We have an additional 230 hectare block about 7k up the road. We're sheep and dairy support. With all the just over 4,000 ewes and probably about 250 head of cattle. So, probably one of the big things from us, or one of, as the first point in my submission, was the physiographic zones.
Yeah.
I struggle to see the credibility behind the methods used, where they've been proven. Some of our property was under bedrock, and some of it was under oxidising, which digging in those soils before putting drainage in, there isn't gravel there. We're digging down to bedrock. Under oxidising soils is what another brother of mine's place is on Edendale, and you get sort of 30-40 mils below the surface there and you're into a deep gravel pan. And to think that we're classified as the same as what he's on, I struggle to see them.
Yeah.
To see that. The Rule 22, the dairy conversions, I think it's a hard one, but that could have a huge impact on land values, and two neighbouring farms, like one of the people said earlier, that's a lot of equity that could be valued by someone who has already converted to dairy, say perhaps 2 years ago, and someone who hasn't. All of a sudden the converted land is probably going to go increase because it's obviously is going to become harder to convert land, and what hasn't been converted is probably, or possibly, could reduce in value because of some of those rules. It is a hard one, but if there's a way of assessing individual basis of that, for example, like at home, we've beside the home block, we have a 120 hectare dairy farm, and for us to, if we decided to put another 50 cows into that, which would be another 15 hectares or something, could now be quite a rigorous process for us to get through to do that. Rule 23, the winter grazing, by the sounds of it, you've had a few people with my first point of the of the 50 hectare rule opposed to a percentage of your total farm area. I like I said, our dairy farm's 120 hectares. We could crop 50 hectares of that intensively, whereas our neighbour behind us is about 4,000 acres. And it's saying that without unless he gains consent, that he can only crop the same amount as us. My personal view is I think a percentage of your total effective area would be a much more common sense way of doing it. The consent of the cropping one, it wasn't really made clear how easily or how simple the process you'd have to go through to achieve that, which in Southland we know how cropping windows, how tight they can be sometimes. Mm. So I felt needed some clarification around how difficult or how simple the requirements of that would be. With having reduced area, limitations on areas of crops before you need consents, it could encourage intensification of crops on smaller areas, which I wonder whether that could become more detrimental to leaching into our groundwater. With increasing tonnages off crops and that, going from a 10 to a 30 tonne, it means that the stock are going to spend three times the time on the same area. So that could, in a way, perhaps become further detrimental than the alternative. The stock exclusion, we have some waterways fenced off at home. It's a big cost. I think I've gotten there for us at home would be about 35 kilometres of fencing. Some creeks that we do have fenced off, there's long grass behind them. We have problems with bank erosion, changing water course, and that requires ongoing maintenance as well. When they're changing course and with the bank or where it's fenced off and we're getting long grass and gorse and broom going, the weight of that on the banks seems to be causing erosion or collapsing of banks, which is sediment into our waterways. Whereas on the other side where the sheep are grazing right to the edge, I guess it's not providing the same weight on those banks. And it seems to be, in terms of erosion, is holding the watercourse together better. We have already installed a water scheme at home for the fact that we do intend on fencing more two waterways, but when my father and grandfather fenced their property, it was fenced so that there was stock water in every paddock. So fences go down the ridge lines rather than down the creeks. So that's a plan that we have in place at home, is now that we've got a water scheme in 2 years ago, that we will now start or have started to move to creeks. But in terms of sheep, I question whether they should be fenced off on both sides. Critical water sources, big creeks, I understand, but for a lot of us, we've got a lot of small running creeks, which I don't. In my opinion, the sheep do a nice job of keeping it tidy. The Rule 13, discharge from installed subsurface drainage systems, I had there to amend to the farm, best of the farmer's knowledge, about existing tile drains being mapped for winter grazing purposes. Anything we do have what currently, to the best of our knowledge, and anything that goes into the ground now, we are mapping. But like I say, anything above the best of our knowledge, we have no idea virtually. We know there's something under there somewhere, but
yeah,
you soon find out when they stop working. I guess so. Thank you.
Okay, we'll see if we have any questions for you. Just before we go to that though, just you talked about stock exclusion and sheep. The rules that have been recommended to us don't cover sheep, so sheep wouldn't be captured by those fencing rules. So that's the current recommendation to us. And a lot of people have spoken in support of that.
Yeah, I was last night trying to get through the latest one where the recommendations had been.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Lloyd, any questions?
Just one clarification, really. You mentioned that you had some streams that were fenced off, and I presume that's double-sided?
Yes.
And they grow a lot of grass, etc., etc. Do you do any form of spraying or mechanical cleaning or maintenance? How do you actually, I'm not worried about the long grass and the possible course of broom or that sort of thing. I'm just thinking about the waterway.
Yeah.
Do you do any maintenance on the waterway, and if so, what?
With the digger.
Only with the dig, you don't have any spraying?
Not off the grass, we don't.
I'm thinking in the waterway
in
itself.
In the waterway itself. Yes. No, when it becomes required, we'll clean it with a digger, but that's about it.
So is it an annual clean or a biannual?
Oh, probably more biannual.
Biannual, every couple of years.
Yeah.
And are you taking out sediment or are you taking out just weed?
Sediment.
Sediment.
And then we'll just stockpiles along, and then once it's dry, we'll move it.
Thank you.
No questions.
Good afternoon, Mr. McRae. In terms of intensive winter grazing, you've suggested 25% of a farm area. Is that realistic?
I was actually, when I printed this off and was reading through it last night, on the high side.
Yeah,
right. Like, we probably sit about 10% at home.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to think it would be slightly higher than that to future-proof us. But I guess that doesn't say that we can't, because you can still apply for consent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To do more. But yeah, when I read through that last night, I was obviously being ambitious when I was reading this.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah.
Right, I don't have any further questions either, but thanks for coming in.
Yeah, cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.